The Sox are on a hitting rampage this season.
Ventura's 2-1. There's a shot drilled toward left. Gordon on the move. That's going to sail over his head onto the warning track. Here comes Shaw pounding in the third. Butterfield's waving him in. Here's the throw home. They won't get him.
Well, that was the RBI double by last week's American League Player of the Week, Jackie Bradley Jr., in last night's game against the Kansas City Royals. And by the way, Anthony just waved woohoo about that. Sitting right next to him right now is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hi there, Bill.
Hello, man.
And hello, Bill.
Hey, Tony.
Well, shouldn't he be woohooing? I mean, that was a great moment.
It was a great moment. And the Red Sox season has been full of great moments. And we were talking a little bit earlier about what fun it is to watch a team that scores between 11 and 13 runs every night.
Yeah.
It's great fun. And I would be the last one to deny that.
I think the last time I was in here with you, Bill, in fact, that was sort of my big takeaway, is this team, unlike last year and possibly the year before that, this team is fun to watch. It remains to be seen for how long they will be fun. But right now, I'm enjoying the ride as a Red Sox fan.
Well, let's bring folks who may not be following them so closely up to speed a little bit. And the season's numbers so far. The Sox lead the American League in runs scored, team batting average, and RBIs. Xander Bogaerts and Jackie Bradley Jr. respectively have the fourth and fifth best batting averages in the league. David Ortiz, 40 years old and in his last season in the majors, already 10 home runs and 33 RBIs. So all this talk about him retiring, I feel like people are... or maybe regretting that and asking Big Poppy, don't leave us.
Yeah, I'm sure they are, because these are magnificent numbers, particularly for just past the middle of May. I read an article recently in which David Ortiz does not seem to be reconsidering his decision. He does say at the end of the article, I hope nobody puts $25 million on the table, which leads me to think that maybe $25 million would cause him to do that. But he points out that even a great athlete, even an accomplished baseball player, a man who has hit and hit and hit some more over a long period of time, runs out of energy, runs out of time, runs out of strength, and more, perhaps more important than all of those things, runs out of desire.
Yeah.
He talks about being tired. He talks about his feet hurting. He talks about how hard it is to go through the physical routine that he has to go through every day to get ready to go onto the field at something like full capacity.
Yeah, and I'd add another thing, and that is, historically, David Ortiz usually starts slowly.
Right.
And he gets his numbers, he gets his 100 RBIs and his 35 home runs eventually, but he usually starts slowly. I'd be really amazed if he can keep this pace up all this season. I mean, we'll see.
You think he might peter out?
Well, I would never predict that about David Ortiz, because I watched that game against Houston last Saturday where he tied it up with a triple in the ninth inning and then went off and did a walk-off home run in the 11th. Not a walk-off home run, but a walk-off double, and won the game in just vintage David Ortiz fashion. So I hope he doesn't retire, but I'm just... what I'm saying is I can't believe that he can keep up this scorching pace for another 130 games.
Well, very few players at any age could keep up what you have, I think, appropriately described as a scorching pace, let alone somebody who's 40 years old. So you have to think about that, and you have to think about injuries, and you have to think about the fact that at some point the guy's probably entitled to a life that doesn't involve flying around the country every night and trying to keep up with 20-odd-year-olds who are playing the game to which they're somewhat better suited, all other things being considered. The other thing that's a little troubling about the Red Sox, not to toss cold water on this lovely discussion, is that at least two of the pitchers upon whom they had counted when the year began have ERAs of about 6.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's great that your team is scoring between 11 and 13 runs every night. It's particularly great if the pitchers aren't doing much and the other team is scoring between 7 and 6 runs or 8 runs or 9 runs every night.
But you bring up a great point, because, again, the sort of torrid pace at the Red Sox, the torrid offensive pace that they're keeping up, it's very hard to imagine a team being able to keep that up. So if they don't figure out their pitching, there's no way that they're going to continue to score 12, 13, 10 runs.
Oh, the voice of doubt, Anthony.
No,
I've seen Fangraphs says that they may get over 90.
That.
No, he doesn't. That's true. It's you, Bill.
Hey, I've been brought in as a serious analyst here.
Well, as long as we're into the potential negatives here, I think it's also very interesting that former Red Sox GM Theo Epstein is in charge of a team which has a somewhat better record than the Red Sox do right now. The Chicago Cubs are off to what has been an absolutely phenomenal start, not just for the Cubs, who, of course, have a history of not winning, but for any team. I mean, they have been magnificent and have won several more games than the Red Sox have. They're way ahead in their division. The last time I looked, the Red Sox, on the other hand, competing with Baltimore for the top spot night after night, day after day. So it's going to be a fascinating season to watch.
Well, so that's bringing up the question. There have been some competing Globe sports columnists talking about this. I mean, are the 2016 Red Sox essentially Ben Cherington's team, even though he was let go, or Theo Epstein's team?
See, I don't know how to think about this. Well, I think you've got an idea on this, but the idea of whose team it is seems to be more a question of when particular players sort of reach their prime.
The job of the general manager is to predict successfully who's going to help you not only in the present but going forward.
Right.
And if you buy that as the responsibility of the general manager, then you have to credit Ben Cherington with a fair amount of what's happening this year. Not perhaps with David Ortiz, who's been around for a while, but with some of these other guys who are on base when David Ortiz gets his critical hits. And I think he should get credit for that. And to some extent, Theo Epstein should as well, because he was the guy who came in and changed the culture of the team and won several World Series, or the team did. So those guys should get credit, although they're gone. And as my friend Charlie Pierce says, if Theo Epstein manages to be the general manager of the Cubs when they win the World Series, having been the general manager of the Red Sox when they finally won the World Series, he's going to walk right into the Hall of Fame with two hats on, one Cubs and one Red Sox.
Yeah. What a legacy that would be.
You know, Anthony, we were talking with you about the WBUR political poll a couple minutes ago. Maybe we ought to launch a poll asking people, like, you know, who's 2016 Red Sox is it, right? Ben Cherington or Theo Epstein? I'd love to know what listeners think about that.
I'd say it's David Ortiz's.
So far, I'd say you're absolutely right.
Well, Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs on WBUR every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., and he joins us on Wednesdays here at Radio Boston to talk sports. Bill, thank you so much.
A pleasure, Meghna. Thank you.
And Anthony Brooks, WBUR senior political reporter, and I'm going to call you our senior Red Sox analyst, too, as well.
I'll take it. I've been called worse.
Thanks for wearing so many hats for us today.
My pleasure, Meghna.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.